The big breaking news is, through these early chapters of Acts, Saul the Pharisee, the opponent of the church, the chief official persecutor, has been converted. It's interesting that if you look at the end of... we're obviously skipping some places, but if you look at the end of chapter 9, you've got this few verses where it talks about Paul, Saul being converted, and then you've got him going up to Jerusalem a few verses later. And it could be that there's about 3 years between those verses. Because Paul, in Galatians, when he's writing the letter to the Galatians, he writes to them and he says, I did not consult with any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem, but to see those who were apostles before me, but I went immediately into Arabia. And then I later returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So we've got to chapter 13, but we've got to fill in just a little bit about the church at Antioch. Barnabas was the one who nurtured Saul and brought him into the fellowship of the church at Antioch. Obviously, the Christians were fearful of him because they'd heard his reputation. And in chapter 11... we're going to read just a few verses from chapter 11. We've got this bit that you've sort of got Saul's conversion, then you've got the Peter parenthesis of Peter and Cornelius and the bits in the middle, and Peter then in prison, and then Herod getting killed and all that. And in the middle, you've got a little bit about the church at Antioch. And it's the church at Antioch that we're concerned about in chapter 13. So in chapter 11... We have to remember, of course, that Saul had already had two death threats. And he'd escaped from Damascus in a basket. He'd been threatened in Jerusalem and he'd escaped and he'd gone back to Tarsus. Chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. That's why Barnabas finished up in Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God, and he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did by sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and Saul go up to Jerusalem. While they're in Jerusalem, Peter's thrown into prison because Herod arrests him, and there's all sorts of things with Herod. And then at the end of chapter 12, we've got these verses which says, but the word of God continued to increase and spread, and when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Right, they're back in Antioch. They're back in the outstation. The news of the Holy Spirit, sending the gospel out to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, was gradually being fulfilled as the believers went out to Antioch in Syria and beyond. If we could, you put the first two bits up for us? No, the headings and sermon headings, please, Raj. The key thing is, in this passage in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit presides over the advance and is the most important person in the story. Let's read then Acts 13, 1 to 13. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole of the island until they came to Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, the false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul was an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that was what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Then from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. The breaking news is Saul and Barnabas have been chosen to go on a missionary journey. As we said, the most important person in the Acts is the Holy Spirit. Some people have entitled the book, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, rather than the Acts of the Apostles. I suppose you could say the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And Luke is a very accurate writer, historian, and theologian. And so he says that it's the Holy Spirit that said, "Set me apart." It's the Holy Spirit that told them to go down to Seleucia in verse 4. It's the Holy Spirit that said to Paul, told Paul to confront this evil. And so you see how the Holy Spirit is the one who is actually directing operations. There are four things we're going to see about what he does. The first thing is, he decides on his agents. Barnabas was the key agent initially. Barnabas, the son of consolation, the encourager, the one who went to get Saul, the one who introduced him to the apostles in Jerusalem, as well as going to bring him back to Damascus, to the church at Antioch, and to worship and teach there. They had gifted teachers in the church. There was Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up in the household of Herod, and Saul. There were gifted teachers and prophets in the church. Inspired prophets there. And Saul, who was already a proven testifier to his faith and an evangelist. You see, God wants our best. When God chooses people to go for him, he wants the best that we have. So the Holy Spirit said, I want Barnabas and Saul, as they were worshipping and fasting, and they discerned the mind of the Spirit. Perhaps it was through the prophets that they had a prophecy to say, you know, God wants Barnabas and Saul to go off. And some in the church said, no, you can't send Barnabas and Saul. They're our best people. We can't do without them. Michael Griffiths, who was a missionary with the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, he came back. Gwen knows him well because he was principal of London Bible College, which is now the London School of Theology. He was a great writer. And in one of his books on missions, he said about candidates going for missions, he said, if you won't miss them, we don't want them. And that's what it is here. I'm worried sometimes over my ministry over the years how we as churches have chosen those who we've put into work for God. Yes, we choose the pastors and deacons, we pray about it, we think about it, we vote on it, but what about everybody else? What about John Mark, the helper? He just seemed to breeze along with them. But their church must have agreed for him to go, surely. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides his agents. Not only does he do that, he also then directs their activities. And from verses 4 to 6, you'll see how geographically they were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, and they went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Cunning move by the Holy Spirit, because that's where Barnabas came from, Cyprus. And he was saying to Barnabas, now you go back to your family and friends. What? I can't go back to my family and friends. I'd sooner go to Africa and tell people about Jesus than my family and friends. It's tough to tell your family and friends. They know what you were before you are now. They know what you were like when you were growing. Oh, I remember. Yeah, I remember him. He was a right lad, you know. Terror in the synagogue, he was. So they went back to Cyprus. John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. So he was going back home as well. And so they went back to Cyprus. Yes, the Holy Spirit directs not only who goes, but where they go, what they do, and how they do it. And that's what we must be aware of. It's interesting too, isn't it, that there was more of them there. Because if you read from verse 13 onwards, when we go into the next section, Paul and his companions. Went. And so they were sent. The Holy Spirit sent them to where they were going. He told them what they were doing. He told them how they should do it. And that must be primarily for us too. They went to a group. They went to the synagogues. They went where they were known. They went to the Jews, but also they went to other places. They went to adults. Interesting what you were saying about, you know, the church used to have the maxim, get the children and you'll get the adults. That was rubbish. We never got many adults through the children. Get the adults and you'll get the children. And they went to the adults, they went to the synagogues, they went to the various places where adults went, they went to Barnabas' contacts, they went to the Jewish synagogue. There's no eccentric individualism here. They went as a group, and they ministered together. There is a problem, though, a real problem, because John left them in Pamphylia. And that was going to be a thorn in their side for quite a few chapters of the Acts, because at the end of chapter 15, when Paul and Barnabas, as he became Paul, you'll notice how he changed to his Roman name in the middle, and instead of Barnabas and Saul, we now become Paul and Barnabas, and we'll mention a bit more about that in a minute, how in the end of chapter 15, when Paul said, come on, Barnabas, let's go back to the churches and encourage them and support them again. And he said, Barnabas said, well, yeah, we'll take John Mark. But we are not taking John Mark, said Paul, because he left us in Pamphylia. He went back home. He got homesick, went back to Jerusalem. And we're not taking him with us. And the division was so great between them, they had to go their separate ways. And this is why it happened. Because John Mark left them in Pamphylia. The third thing that we see from this story, and probably this is the major central bit really, is that the Holy Spirit defeats the adversary. Do you like the alliteration, by the way? It really came to my mind, you know. I thought, this is really good. I'm getting on here. I don't always get this, but doing well here. I did have to look through the dictionary for one word, I must say. He defeats the adversary. The proconsul, it was a Roman appointment. We're not sure. He was probably a Greek, we're not sure. But it was a Roman appointment, the proconsul. He had an attendant who was involved in witchcraft. And obviously he'd been really making hay while the sun shone in Cyprus as a sorcerer. And sorcerers of the day would receive remuneration for their prophecies, if you like, their sorcery. For their offering of sacrifices, for everything to go well with somebody, or the harvest to come out well. And he objected, this man Bar Jesus, who was called Elymas, that's what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And that's what upset Paul. Not so much that he just opposed them, he was trying to prevent the proconsul from coming to faith. Like Paul wrote later, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in. As Peter said, beware, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And I find it quite interesting, as you look through Acts and you look through the ministry of Jesus, they didn't go out looking for demons to sock it to them. They didn't. But when they were confronted by them, they dealt with it, and the Holy Spirit defeated the adversary. They confronted them when necessary, as Jesus did. And here we have the danger that if we really go looking for evil, oh yes, we'll find it. But let's not seek it out. If it seeks us out, we confront it. We deal with it. We handle it. Let's not go looking for issues. If they seek us out, we'll deal with them. We'll handle them. We'll sort it out before God with the direction of the Spirit. And Saul, in verse 9, becomes Paul. Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at him. I've often wondered, Barnabas was filled with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was a man of faith. Barnabas was a good man. As we read in the end of chapter 11. Why didn't he confront this guy? No, God chose Paul to do it. Paul was the one. I don't think that Barnabas couldn't do it, but God, the Spirit directed his agents and their activities, even in the defeating of the adversary. And so Paul stood up and, filled with the Spirit, looked at him and said, you're going to become blind. We're not going to have this. And he confronted the evil openly. And this is where Barnabas must have had great heart searching. Because here on in, as a director of the orchestra, he had to come down and play second fiddle. He was the one who the Jerusalem apostles said, Barnabas is a great chap. He can go down and see what's happening in Antioch. We'll send him. Barnabas is the one who went and interceded on behalf of Saul before the apostles and before the church in Antioch. Said, look, it's okay. He's a great guy. Receive him. And then, right through the next verses, chapters of Acts, you find that Barnabas becomes Paul and Barnabas. Or, as we read in verse 13, Paul and his company. And Barnabas didn't even get a mention. And so he has to learn to play second fiddle. And do you know one of the most difficult things for Christians, and especially for retired ministers, is to play second fiddle. It is. It's not easy. And fourthly, and quickly, he delivers the administrator. Signs and wonders are aids to faith. They're not a means to faith. Because the word was still spoken. Notice that he wanted to hear the word of God in verse 7. The proconsul did. So he heard the word of God. And it was the word of God that convicted him of his sinfulness and brought him to faith. But certainly the signs and wonders that happened when this attendant of his became blind and he couldn't, and I was unable to see the light of the sun. And as many commentators have played on words, he couldn't see the light of the sun, S-U-N, but it enabled the proconsul to see the light of the sun, S-O-N. His darkness helped the proconsul to come into the light. And he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. He was not just amazed at the miracle that had happened and the signs and wonders that had happened. He was amazed at the teaching. And so it's the teaching of the Lord. It's no good going around with great signs and wonders and miracles. Just there is a need for the word of God to confirm the signs. And the Spirit confirmed the signs and wonders that had happened. He saw the power of the Spirit of God in the word of God. And he believed. And so the work of the Spirit is shown to us here. There's new beginnings that the Spirit of God can work through his people. He delivers the administrator, an unlikely person. He defeats the adversary. He directs their activities. And he decides on his agents. Let's pray together. Father, make us more sensitive to your Spirit, to his leading, in every aspect of our lives. Not to be proud and lorded over others because we think we have the gift, but we pray that the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit might be evident among us. That you might deliver people and bring them into faith. That you might defeat the adversary as we are confronted with him. That you might direct our activities and decide on our workers. For the glory of your name. Amen.